Hello, I'm Gui.
I'm Afif.
And I'm Long.
And you're listening to Copy Overflow, a podcast about software development, which will be our last episode. Not to say it's the end of Copy Overflow, but more like we're going on indefinite hiatus, quote unquote.
Until further notice, which may never come.
We woke up early to record this episode.
What a good way to start a day, right?
This is our only morning episode, I think. We have recorded at night, most of the time in the evening. This is the only one in the morning.
I think whenever we have guests, especially Mehdi, right, we record at night because it's time zone thing. But yeah, like I think Afif mentioned, this is the first episode recording in the morning. Wow. How are both of you feeling recording the last episode?
Mixed feelings?
It's going to be different. So what should I do every last Saturday from now on? Now I need something new to do.
Do you run out of rest day thing to do?
What are you talking about, Afif? You've got tons of projects you haven't actually get started on.
All these side projects, 9,000 subdomain names.
It does feel like an end of a journey. I mean, we've been doing this for 2 years almost consistently, right? Which is surprising.
Time flies.
Yeah, and also all the scheduling hell as well. Especially that you have three people on a podcast, right? With very different schedules, right? And then you have to like, okay, will this day work? No, there's plans. This day work? No. And then sometimes there'll be like last minutes. Okay, we shift this, shift that. And it's like, oh.
I felt like it was easier when we just got started, when COVID just locked down started. But now it opens up, we all got plans, things happen now, getting harder to schedule.
Wow, social life.
You know, right? Like back then, you cannot even attend funerals, so...
Couldn't cross states as well.
Like many of the deaths are also because of COVID. Did you guys lose any of your close ones due to COVID?
No, not that I'm aware of.
My grandfather-in-law? But that one was like after lockdown, so it's not during the lockdown.
But it was due to COVID though, was it?
Yeah, it's due to COVID. Up until now, since COVID, like, at least for me, I haven't attended any weddings yet. So there's like a lot less social reasons that we need to reschedule this.
I have been a busy one. Yeah, because this year I had to attend a lot of them planned before COVID. Then like when 2020 the lockdown started, and 2021 as well, like those 2 years, everything got postponed, right? This year things are more open up. It's like everybody's rushing to like get their ceremony done and then also attend wakes and funerals as well. Just a reminder that, you know, COVID is still around. Don't take it lightly, lah. Even though things are like quote unquote back to normal, they aren't exactly back to normal. New normal. Talking about scheduling and all, during our first year episode, we just went through our numbers, right? We didn't actually talk about, did we talk deeply about why we'll continue doing on second year? I don't remember, actually.
Why do you want to continue for the second years, you mean?
Yeah. I don't think we talked about...
I can't remember if we did it on the show. Maybe we did, like, before the recording.
But yeah, I think, like, the first year, for me at least, after doing the first year, it felt like we could still keep going. It felt like there were still a lot more things. To be frank, even now, there are still a lot of things we can talk about, right? Like even before we started recording, we were talking about taking leave as an engineer and whether you like appear during leave, that kind of affects the culture, like it influences the culture and normalizes certain things. We talk about that. I mean, it's not in recording, but after we had a quick chat, we're like, oh, this would make probably a good topic in the episode if we continued.
But we don't have a next episode anymore for now. That's a perfectly good way to describe how I feel about recording this. The mixed feeling. I feel like it's nice to talk about all these things with you guys. It's just that when it comes to with the burden of recording, and it felt different.
When you know the record button is on, then it feels a bit more restrictive. Is that the word to use?
Yeah, and then the need to record this on a schedule. It's not like we just jump in, have a chat, and then forget about it. I will miss that part, the one we like, just bring up random topics and talk about it.
I guess we have a lot more fun talking about things before we start recording. We start recording, it's like, okay, we gotta be slightly prim and proper now. It can't go off the rails.
That sort of describes what I feel.
Definitely think like recording is the easier part of doing the podcast, like scheduling and recording. One thing to talk about recording is like, because we're doing it over Discord, right? I think because Discord allows us the most flexibility. But no matter how you put it, going through like online call definitely has that latency aspect, and there's that delay in response. Like if you record in person, for example, it would be easier to like take note of body languages and stuff like that. Like one thing we do is we record locally. We don't record the call itself because sometimes people drop off and anything could happen. So we just record locally and then we just do the editing, right? That's one thing we set out to do compared to like recording in person. I guess the interaction is not as organic. It feels a bit weird, especially after we do editing, right? Because sometimes we talk over each other and then sometimes it's like, okay, we're gonna see who plays chicken, who's gonna like back off and who's gonna continue talking.
three audio tracks. Who are gonna silence?
I think that's one challenging of recording remotely. But
it's also a challenge of editing as well, right? Because you have to kind of select the tracks. Most of them are done by Gui. Thank you, Gui.
Oh, we're revealing this?
80% of the episode are done by me, I guess.
I think it's higher.
Yeah, probably 90.
I did 2, Long did 2, then the rest is...
20 episodes?
Oh yeah, it is actually 80%, exactly.
Afif, you've been doing 2 episodes of editing as of recording date. How do you feel about that?
I don't know if it's harder because of... We have fun, right, during the recording. Like, so we just laugh and everything. During editing, you kind of like want to make it a certain tone. Or like people might not want to hear us laugh. You know, sometimes like, it's very annoying when like DJs in radios laugh among themselves and we as audience don't understand because we don't have the same chemistry.
There's like a very obvious inside joke, but as an outsider, I don't get it.
Right, that's the thing. So you kind of have to cut and trim all the laughs, and sometimes we got excited and talk over each other, and then sometimes you feel like you want to keep all of them because it's fun for us, but you also have to put the audience in mind, and you have, even when you cut also, it feels very weird because before the cut, you are talking a certain tone and then you laugh and then you got excited and then your tone become a lot higher after that. And then when you cut in the middle, it feels like this jump in tone because you cut out the laughing part that makes the tone change, right? So editing is hard. Maybe editing is hard because it's 3 people as well. It's just an individual podcast where you just... But it becomes monotony also, which is also probably not good.
I guess depends lah. Like, you really have to think about the persona you're recording. Persona you're recording as. Like, if you're recording as an individual, you'll probably be more like a radio DJ. I mean, for me, I would be more prepared. I'm not saying we don't prepare anything for this, right? Personally, I would be more prepared if it's just me. Probably you can shave off editing as well. If you're recording solo, right, then you don't have to... The editing we have to do is kind of like blend 3 of our tracks together and also like make sure we don't overlap, that sort of thing, and then kind of filter out. So maybe solo recording more straightforward, I would say, because you don't have to blend the tracks together and it's just yourself, so you can quite easily fix things for the next recording as well, especially when you listen to yourself. Yeah, how do you feel listening to yourself, Afif?
At first it was quite... What was the word? I can't remember what was the word. It feels awkward.
It's like very cringy.
Cringy, yes. It feels very cringy at first, but after a while, you kind of like get used to it. And then just, after that, it feels okay. During the course of editing, you have to listen to the whole track a lot of times, right? So even like 10 seconds, you probably will hear that 4 or 5 times to kind of like make sure things are okay. Yeah, so after that, it just gets easier, I guess.
For me, initially, was like realizing a lot of audio cues and audio takes I do, like saying like a lot. I was like, you need to stop saying like too much, Gui. And I think after that, I always try to make a conscious effort on like doing that. And also a lot of like pauses. Very obvious, right? Where you listen, like, I'm speaking that way too much. It's like, I gotta stop.
Like a retrospective on how you speak.
I guess you don't know until you listen to the raw recordings, because the editing is done already, like half of the time. Like, if you only listen to that, you can't really pick that up. But the raw recordings is like, oh yeah, no. I guess there are some parts I agree, Afif. Oh, there are some cringy parts. Like, it's like you have to live with what I've said. That's the like double edge of editing, right? There are some parts like, oh, I don't think that's a very good thing I said, or whatever any 3 of us said, right? But kind of is content, so it's like, I'll just leave it in.
For the content.
Obviously, we are not professional editors. After like editing for close to 1.5 years, I think around the middle of like this year or / season, I kind of like started to get burnt out already. I think that was the time where we started discussing, oh, anybody else want to take out editing? Even last year, like, I took a 1 episode break, right? That's why we did the live stream. If you're listening on this audio podcast, we do have a YouTube live stream last December, I think. Scuff. Really, really, really scuff. So that's how we will sound in a raw recording environment without any editing done at all. Still promoting our episodes even though we're ending. I think the burnout is real. Even though we only do this once every month, right? But it felt like it takes a lot of my time because for one, I'm not a professional editor, right? And then it's like, oh, I spend like easily, like sometimes if I procrastinate, easily like 2 weeks. It's not like I spend 2 full weeks, but my mind is occupied with this edit for 2 weeks kind of thing. So like, oh, I can't do anything else besides this. Right? Do you feel that way as well, Afif?
Yeah. So like record 30 minutes and then edit like 10 hours. Yeah, especially my first episode ever where I was still trying to find my workflow with the software that I'm using, right? So I think during the first season, I attempted editing once.
I think there was one episode that we all tried to edit and then we picked one. I think maybe the first episode or something. I'm not sure.
I can't remember, but I think we still went with GUI's version of that episode. Initially, I was using like a video editor for editing podcasts, which is not bad. Now I use GarageBand, which is a bit better. Now that I have found my workflow, it's a bit easier, but still a struggle. It still takes easily 6-7 hours cumulatively.
Yeah, I'm roughly around that. Usually we record around 15 minutes and then we'll edit it down. Yeah, I will also take around 8 to 10 hours depending on every episode. I want to do something. I try to challenge myself, try to do some things. Maybe not clean out. Last time, the easier route was like if 3 hours overlap, then I clean out the audio and leave only one person speaking, right? And later I try to like move the audio tracks out a bit, space it out so it doesn't feel like we're talking over each other. Sometimes the editing is good. It's like, wow, good job, Gui. Sometimes it's like, it's so obvious, it's a cut. I think a lot of the things we talk about, to be frank, can be kind of like solved with an external editor. But the problem is when you hire a person, you need money, right? And obviously we are not for profit podcast.
I guess it's also like we are doing all this on our free time, right? We're not doing this like a full time. So that makes things harder that we don't have that much of time to spend on. Even though like spending maybe 18 hours for someone doing this full time might be not significant or normal, I guess. For someone who's doing it outside of working hours, then it becomes significant.
I would definitely feel like a professional or at least someone who does this as a paid job would do it quicker than how we do it because they already have the experience and whatnot, right? So that's one thing. Talking about like paid editors and whatnot, I guess one thing that also kind of came into mind when I kind of feel about the editing burnout was like looking at our numbers as well, whether we were growing. I think we were growing lah. It's just that at a very slow rate. And also because we use Anchor FM for like the audio podcast, right? So Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and also Spotify all goes through Anchor FM as an aggregator. The stats are a bit weird, or at least I don't really know how to like break down the stats. Like YouTube analytics is a lot better to look at. It's a lot easier. Right, it's much more streamlined, but because there's like 3 platforms behind Anchor FM, right, for me it's kind of hard to like, okay, we can break down by like devices and whatnot, but I'm more curious on like one episode how many plays and so on. And I don't really know what's considered a play. That's kind of the problem as well. Like for example YouTube, right, if you play and then you like close the thing and then you play again, that counts as 2 plays really. But I don't know how would different podcast platforms consider a play. Do you have to like listen to it, or does it also like you play it, close it, play it again, that's considered the 2 plays. I mean, this is not really a criticism of the stats, but I'm just saying that when we start this podcast, my motivation of starting this was just like, oh, I wanted content so I can do audio editing. That's the whole basis of why Coffee Overflow started, because like, oh, I want to do a bit of audio editing. I need content. So, you know, why not start on podcast? Also, during the time, I guess we mentioned, right, it was during COVID heyday with lockdowns and whatnot. And I guess during the time, obviously, everybody will consume a lot of media as well. So the time I consume a lot of podcasts, I was like, I guess it'll be fun. The main 2 podcasts that kind of influenced me to do this were actually non-tech or software-related podcasts. One is Trash Taste. I don't even know what to call them at this point in time. It's basically a general variety podcast, I guess. And the other one was Rise to Meet You, which was a very Asian-centric podcast, which has now stopped already. But yeah, these 2 were fun to listen. I was like, okay, they were banter between the hosts, sometimes they have guests, it would be something we could do as well. When I brought up the idea, I think around that time, episode 0 as well, we're talking about what sort of podcast we want to be, right? I think Long, you were referencing like a few of that you listen to, right? Syntax FM and that sort of thing,
mostly tech.
I mean, after recording for 2 years and obviously after listening to ourselves for 2 years, how will you compare us with them?
For Syntax FM specifically, I think there's a similarity that they are also not doing in person, if I'm not mistaken, at least back then. I'm not sure nowadays. I'm really impressed how they do all this logistics so well and able to edit it to the point that like it doesn't feel like they are actually doing it in different locations. They also have 2 hosts. And also that's recently I got into another podcast, the Stack Overflow podcast, which they have 3 hosts and with guests, sometimes 4 of them. I'm not sure what's the parallel that I can draw here. I feel like this, the logistic part is one thing. The other part is how natural they sounded like. I'm not sure if because of editing, how natural they interact with each other without feeling like they are apart and being super conscious that they're being recorded. I'm not sure if they are just used to it. There's still one thing that we haven't got used to. We act slightly differently when we're being recorded. We know we're recording. So
just like what Afi mentioned, right, there is that slight awkwardness there.
I think it's after years of practice. Like Syntax FM is from West Boss, was it? The guy has been teaching before, has been doing online courses and all that. He has doing retro on his audio a lot longer than we have been doing. Like, so I remember this video from, you guys know MKBHD, right? Sometimes YouTube randomly suggests like his 9-year-old videos like back from the day. And he was not as fluent as he is right now. Like, so nowadays it's just like second nature to him. Everybody started somewhere, and our 2 years is probably nothing compared to the experience that West Bowles has probably done. He's a true professional. And regarding his logistics, I'm pretty sure he's not doing anything himself.
They're big enough to probably have a team already. Like, even NKPG, I'm pretty sure he has scriptwriters and all the filming and recording,
like liners or all that. They have teams of writers.
But we are comparing to Giants, lah. That's the thing to keep in mind also, right? Especially when we look at our stats. I know, like, during our first year, we talk about how much we grown, quote-unquote, even though we're not even 100 subscribers, but it felt like a good milestone, lah, like, for us, a no-name podcast, to, like, even have slightly small following, right? Or very tiny following, I guess. We talked about this a few times already, like, off-recording, but also on the podcast itself, definitely had to acknowledge that each of us contribute the pool of the podcast as well. Like, it's very obvious, Afif is the social media juggernaut here. Like, every time I look at Copy Overflow's Twitter follow list, it's quite obvious a lot of people that are following Copy Overflow comes from, like, Afif's Twitter. So that's one thing as well, right? If you want to do a podcast, make sure you're famous enough.
I don't think I can be considered as famous.
Comparatively, the three of us, you have the most following, lah.
You are the influencer among us.
There was one time I went viral for one post that's not tech related. It's more like business related. So I was admiring this one person from Malaysia who's actually doing this. So I went like crazy viral, like I think 20 something thousand likes thing on that tweet. And I think after that, Twitter sees me differently. I felt like after that, somehow I got more engagement and stuff like that. So maybe I appear in more Twitter feeds and everything. But I didn't know, like, any growth hack or something.
That is the growth hack, like organic interaction on one tweet, and then you're like in everybody's home timeline already.
I did feel a bit different, like when looking at the notification stat before and after that tweet, it's a bit different. I get more engagement and then get more likes. I think it did something on the Twitter algorithm. It's not like I went and go do growth hack. I just be myself on that thing. And then
you didn't do like whatever, a thread.
It's like 12 Chrome extension you should do.
Yeah, 12 Chrome extension you need as a JavaScript CSS developer, a thread.
I think that's the difference, I think.
I mean, it's very obvious also from play counts as well in the episodes. You're basically carrying the podcast, right? Like, if you look at, based on recording state episode list, highest view one is Felicity's episode, which I'm still very surprised. I really didn't think that an internship episode would have so many views. I suspect probably she promoted it a lot of places as well. That's how, like, the play count got boosted.
Actually, I did promote it as well. I was invited to a talk at a university, and I specifically promoted that episode because it was for fresh grads trying to do internship, right?
I think the play count was before you went for that talk, which was last month, right? I think the talk you gave. Yeah.
And also the content of the episode is more beginner friendly, right? Versus some other episodes that's maybe like only seasoned programmer might be able to relate.
Maybe because before that, right, during our first year, one of the episodes that popped off was Maddie's episode about SRE. So maybe as well, people were like searching about what's the SRE, and then hopefully that's how they found Copy Overflow and like, oh, SRE. So that was one of the few top episodes during the first year, right? Then, yeah, during the second year, we did this. Like I just mentioned, Felicity's episode about internship is still the highest, then followed by Afif's one. Yeah, I really feel like your social media following really contributed a lot.
Thanks, Afif, for carrying us.
So, yeah, thanks, Afif, for carrying us social media-wise. Have to acknowledge.
I think the podcast also contributing to our careers as well. I feel like because we keep on sharing opinions of each other, that's just discussing these things, right? And even in my career, I've actually talked about this in our podcast. And it's just be reminded of the things we talked about. I think we talked a lot about agile stuff and PR reviews and all that. And that kind of like shaped how I work every day as well. It becomes like a source. Yeah, a source of knowledge also. But do you guys feel the same way?
The one thing I like about this is that we just jump in and talk about all these topics without any pressure that we want to talk about. I don't get that opportunity much after COVID and we started working remotely with most of my colleagues. So I think this is one of the chances that I get to talk about these topics and share and do a sanity check. Maybe Ruby is a better language than TypeScript, I don't know.
We're almost there, Afif. We're almost there. We're so close, Afif. We're so close.
What I meant was, like, that's the sanity check, exchange in opinions. Yeah, like what Afif said, it's an opportunity to exchange thoughts and opinions and discussions on the topic that's related to our career that we get to think about. Sort of like a retrospective of our own takes on topics related to our career.
I feel one for one, a lot of times when we record an episode, we barely scratch the surface. Like the open source one, the pre-request one. I feel really there's like so much more we can dive deeper into. And especially like during the editing process as well, I was like, oh, I could say this, I could add more context about this and that. Have I ever mentioned like why specifically I got both of you in as well? One major thing was like both of your viewpoints are usually very, not very different lah, but not always the same, which I think was one of the things I really wanted out of this, right? I don't want us to be like yes men all around, like yeah that's right. I wanted more diverse, and I Long all the while has always been very for his opinions, and he like Long is the personality that would, if he feels something is not right, he will just talk about it and he will offer his viewpoint, right? And that's something I really wanted, right? That's one reason why I invited Long. And also for Afif was so similar. I just want different opinions. The number one thing I didn't want was that all of us agree on something, right? Thinking back to it, I don't think there's a lot of things we disagree on, but a lot of times we give different viewpoints. Because it would be a very bland podcast, right? If all of us agree or something or only have the same viewpoint. So for me, it's like, it was important to have people with different viewpoints as well. And I do enjoy talking to both of you with the different viewpoints, right? So that was also one of the reasons why. Does it make sense now?
I guess a different viewpoint of advice.
You were saying that like a lot of episodes were us kind of like chatting about topic in our career and that sort of thing, right? So coming to that, has there been like a favorite or more memorable episode to record? The easier term to use is favorite, but I guess you could also say like what's a more memorable episode to record?
I have like two different categories for me. The one that I have most fun recording are those random topics episodes. At least originally started as a random topic episodes. By the time this is published, I think we would have one episode about AI. It didn't start that way, but it turns out to be that way. And that we also did like another episode that's also we didn't set a specific topics for the episode. We just come in and we just talk. I think these two episodes are the one that I enjoy the most because we don't have to limit ourselves to one specific topic, like just talk. There's less restriction. And overall, my favorite episode is not just fun to record, I guess, but it's actually Grace, your episode about your career. Two reasons. First one is being personal, like the office career episode as well. I also like that. Just like your career episode have diverse content. Yes. No, the industry that you went in, that's very interesting that you usually don't see a lot in software engineering podcasts. Like. So I think I appreciate that.
Because my episode was very typical, right?
I mean, not to say typical, but it's sharply focused on software engineering, which is okay, right? But Grace went through a couple of different industries, I guess. Which are interesting to know.
That's one thing I really wanted with the episode, right? One of the hidden lessons I wanted to tell was that it doesn't matter where you go, like you could end up as a software engineer regardless if that's really what you want to do. Or it could take a while to like find what you really want to do or find something you really like. So it doesn't matter. Of course, I have to, again, in the back of the episode, I talk about this as well. I have to acknowledge I am in some aspects privileged as well. So we cannot deny that. I guess people like typical software engineering more because the numbers don't lie, right? And our fifth episode is popping off. So
yeah, that's this is my personal right. I appreciate like some podcasts like Stella love of the typical route, but not everyone enjoys that.
I think that we had to cut a lot of the other stories in there as well, like because you and I Long, we both know that after that Goose journey is a lot more than just what we told in that episode, right? So like, all the Ruby discovery and all the engineering manager, after that become engineer and then engineering manager and then become Ruby engineer and not wanting to do anything other than Ruby. Yeah, there's a lot more after that.
Afif, what about you? Like what was your like memorable favorite episodes?
Personally, I like the form design episode because I think it's something that's of my interest, and I think I learned a lot because we were referring to that article from one lady in the UK, I think. I still look at that article. I like that, but I think the most enjoyable podcast episode that I was in terms of like recording, I think the most fun is probably the second Mehdi episode. Felt fun.
I think that episode was quite a good episode, but I don't know why surprisingly that episode has a low view count. Like because the first Mehdi episode like did quite well. Second one not so well. I did receive feedback on like not editing but the audio wasn't that good. So maybe that could have contributed to it. But yeah, I think that's a very good episode in terms of like content.
Yeah, it was definitely fun.
Again, I think because of the topic, right, I feel like SRE is a lot more interesting to many engineers than being an EM.
Probably, yeah. I think a lot more people will type SRE stuff in YouTube rather than a manager. I also learned a lot from that episode as well. Like how Mehdi talked about learning from non-technical managers, I think. He was talking about joining
social groups, like sports group.
Yeah, for learning. And I think that's something very interesting. I had a lot of fun for that episode.
Mehdi's always been fun to chat with. Huh? I mean, that's one of the reasons why we got him back as a return guest as well, right? He's the only return guest.
Make sure we have episode with him before he became famous.
For me, I definitely put a lot of effort in my career episode. I really wanted to like have a epic saga about my whole career journey, right? And I just mentioned, right, one of the things I wanted to highlight through the episode was that like you don't really have to like start off like as a software engineer. You kind of get into it, and even if you are in a software engineering role right now and you're thinking that, oh, maybe this is not for me, like try a few things, right? There's so many other roles out there, PM, EM, designer as well, right? There's so many things to try. So just go around, try stuff. Doesn't work out, then try again. That's kind of what I wanted to bring out as part of like talking about my whole journey. That was the thing. Yeah, if you ask me 10 years ago, do I see myself 10 years later writing Ruby code, recording podcasts, I'd probably say no, what are you talking about, right?
I actually used that quote, or I guess your manager's quote. It was find out what you don't like and then never do it again. I actually used that quote in the university talk that I gave. Like these people are starting out and they don't know, like right now, they're probably thinking about just being a programmer, right? But they don't have to be a programmer. There's a lot more stuff other than like product managers, all that. Yeah, it's a definite ethos that you can live with.
I guess because there is a fear of like, oh, I've put in this many years in like software engineering or whatever role, right? And now you are senior or staff, and then like kind of bored of it already. And then like probably a role change isn't the best thing to think about, right? In terms of like remuneration and, you know, a lot of other factors into consideration. Side tangent aside, another episode I really enjoyed recording was the episode with Felicity. That personally meant a lot to me actually, because I supported Felicity during the internship, right? And then I was like, wow, this is a great opportunity to milk out content. Let's go. I'm very thankful that Felicity agreed to like appear on the recording, and I'm really glad the episode did well as well. I'm really like hopeful that this would help people, any students considering internships or, you know, whatnot, thinking about that. It's not a topic people talk about very often. So especially in our region, right? I don't even know like a lot of people doing internships unless it's required. So that's a memorable episode for me. Now we talk about the good, let's talk about the bad. Is that episode you didn't quite like how it turned out?
Is it too soon to say it might be this episode?
Why?
Why? Yeah. Why you say this episode?
I feel like us talking about ourselves and the podcast itself is a bit meta. Audience might not be that intended, but it's not that I hate doing this. It's just that I feel like it might not be that well received.
That's also like the whole thing tying back to kind of like motivation and like what hat do you wear, right? Do you wear like a content creator hat, like, okay, I want to produce good content that, you know, people enjoy listening to, or do I want to like feel good and talk about a meta, like just have a chat, right? Like this is a very hard thing to balance, right? It's like it's easier for us three of us to like, or just talk about whatever random thing, but then we think about from a content creator perspective, like, yeah, I don't think anybody enjoy it. Like what Afi says, right, sometimes there's some inside jokes, it's really awkward to kind of like remove that or like leave it in because you're not sure like, oh, will this part be well received, you know, it's an inside joke but people don't get it, that sort of thing, right? I mean, it's our podcast, of course we could do whatever we want.
Yeah, I mean, I could do this, it's just that I feel like the audience might not be that inclined to listen to this. Yeah.
You meant that you enjoy recording this, but you are thinking from the perspective of the audience who might not enjoy listening, I guess.
Yes, I think so, in a way.
For me, the ergonomics episode, I think, because I felt like, I mean, it's just more about like life in general. It's not really about tech per se. And I think I just got out of the hospital or something like that after that because of the back pain, right? Maybe I'm not at 100% yet at the time. Kind of like was not into it that much. That's probably one.
The ergonomics episode probably would be better if we like didn't focus too hard on it. Like what Long mentioned, right? Sometimes we are a bit constricted by the topic. If we like set out a main topic, then I think the episode, it felt like we're trying to like stuff whatever thing we could think about ergonomics.
Yeah, it feels forced. It shouldn't probably be an episode on its own, I think.
It might have been better if you like did like a multiple topic thing and then ergonomics was part of it.
Yeah, it feels forced also. So I think that was one of our shorter episodes also.
Yeah, for me, the testing one didn't quite come out the way I thought it would.
I can't remember what we talked about also.
This is such an unmemorable episode. I feel we could use more polish in terms of like topic preparation. It's one episode I'd definitely be happy to redo. Like testing for one is such a huge topic to talk about. And then I feel like it could be better lah. That's what I always think about. Definitely could use narrower definition of a topic.
I can't remember what we talked about during that episode.
Did we talk about something like test pyramids?
Oh, that one.
Yeah, we did. Testing pyramid, testing shapes, TDD, don't test against mock.
So just now I mentioned it might be this episode because the audience might not be interested. But for recording-wise, this favorite episode would be the one on my career because I don't think I did a good job explaining things. And also my career might not be that interesting of a story. I'm speaking about the recording, not even the editing. So that might be the least favorite episode to record.
Or maybe it was fine personally as someone who listening as a friend who wants to know more. But yeah, I'm not sure about the audience.
And also like we sort of rush towards the end as well. So.
Oh yeah, because like we found out a lot about your schooling days, right? Cyber cafe scripting and whatnot. I guess we can talk about like if let's say we do a podcast in the future again, no promises, but if we do it again, like what are things you'd like to try, I guess?
I would try that we will just keep doing the no topic episode.
I actually quite like that, to be frank. Yeah, when I was like doing it after like both the episodes we did, at the back of my mind, I was thinking probably not good to keep doing that. I still like to do it. I do agree that like, it's nice to have like a more chill episode. I was like, oh, we don't have to like target focus on one topic.
Maybe I'm thinking about that as a host point instead of an audience point of view. I just want to talk about random stuff with you guys.
I think if it was like our previous episode, the AI, I think it's still okay because in the end, we still talk about generally just one topic, right? The one before that, the first time we did this, it feels a bit awkward to find a good way to transition between those two topics. Huh? Or those three topics, actually. We had three topics in that episode. Yeah, it feels a bit everywhere as well.
Yeah, I just feel a bit like, oh, talking about this, then move to that. Then like suddenly the last topic about coding afterward, I think there's basically no air time. Like, oh, that's it.
I do understand that in terms of recording, it was probably the most natural one.
Because it's just us chatting, right?
So you just come and just talk, right? Basically. Because the rest of them, you kind of have to still prepare and...
keep thinking about the relevant topics.
Yeah, you keep on thinking about relevant topics. And then depending on the flow of the conversations as well. Because what you have prepared might not actually be relevant anymore. Like we have tangents and the whole conversation goes sidetracked.
And also there's that organic thing also, like let's say long talk about something, then I like add into it. No, there's that thing there already, so naturally it would mean like less time later for whatever topic I brought or whoever have brought, right? But I guess that's fine. That's kind of the thing we were aiming for anyway, right? To have more natural, more organic conversation.
It was fun to record. It's just that during the editing, I felt like, yeah, it's a bit...
Yeah, I could imagine editing would be a challenge.
I even felt like recording a few...
You want to dub over it?
Yeah, I want to dub over it. Just add some points and then properly transition it to another topic. But I felt like I shouldn't do that because then the recording would be different. Yeah, I don't want to do that. So.
Sometimes I think about whether I want to dub over it as well and then my lazy. It feels weird also. Yeah, Aviv, what would you like to try if we had more episodes?
Marketing? I think it will help with motivation as well as like seeing numbers go up and everything. I watched this video. It was a startup video basically, but he was saying that people always think that you find motivation and then do something and then be successful, right? He said that it's actually do something and then have a small success and then be motivated and then the cycle goes like that. So I think if you want to have like a continuous motivation, you kind of have to find that small success every time. So that's, I think, what I would probably do something different if I were to do it again. But I mean, you know, we all suck at marketing.
Yeah, it's really like an afterthought. Also lazy. Also, it feels a bit like you have to be like a healthy amount egoistic to do it. Because this podcast is practically us, right? We are marketing ourselves, right? So yeah, you need to have like a healthy amount of egoism to do it well, I guess. That's the only way I know how to word that properly.
You mean we are not narcissistic enough?
Like Afif mentioned about like, it feels a bit slightly cringy listening to yourself. You kind of have to step out of that and be more confident in like promoting yourself, right?
Can I also add that if there's more thing that we want to try, I feel like I want to try doing live stream more than recording so that we don't have to do the editing. I think it could be an opportunity to train ourselves to get used to talk in a live condition, I guess. what's the word?
When you're like public speaking, quote unquote.
Yes, that sort of things. That's another thing that I think I want to try more.
I mean, the downside of that for me personally, I think, is I'm going to be a bit more restrained.
You'd be even more conscious about...
Yeah, conscious about what I'm... Yeah, and then I ended up talking less, I think. Because, you know, sometimes when we're like this, right? You know that...
There's like a safety net on like, even you say whatever, you gotta like, there's a filter, right? So...
And that's why I want to try like live stream. What if we remove this safety net and get out of our comfort zone, then just keep talking and make mistakes until we get good? I don't know. It's just an idea.
I think that's one thing about learning to improve, is that for me at least, like, a lot of people talk about this, like, oh, especially like just think live streaming in general, like streaming games and whatnot, right? A lot of people think like, oh, I'll just start and then want to improve and get better from there. But there's a lot of work from there. You need to rewatch your own thing and all, right? So, but that aside, I think, yeah, if we did continue maybe like a yearly or half yearly stream would be nice as well. I prefer edited content because, yeah, I think we talked about this, maybe not on the podcast, but I prefer edited content because we can be quicker and more straightforward and just, you know, inject the content into people's ears. Yeah, because I also brought out like a few examples of like some groups that do live streaming and it doesn't turn out as nice to listen as you think. So yeah, that's one of my things. But yeah, I think if we did continue, more live streams would be more fun. And maybe we can do a lot more things also. Maybe we can do like live coding, you know. Oh, one idea that I had was we could do like Vim tutorial speedrun.
No, you cannot speedrun Vim.
Speedrun the tutorial. Obviously, Afif will win, but it's not how bad am I compared to Long. I guess that's the only question to ask.
What Vim are you talking about? I use Emacs. No, I'm joking. I don't use Emacs.
You use Emacs? Ew. Pity your pinky.
Oh, that's it? In the last episode, we're going to fight over this? is that it?
If not now, when?
The next time we ever come back, the first episode will be Emacs versus Vim.
Just pick up all the controversial topics. Types versus spaces. TypeScript versus JavaScript.
If we kept going, I definitely want to have more guests. There's like actually a long list of guests I want to get on. One of the reasons we don't always do guest episodes is I feel kind of bad relying on guests as well. Like I know like if we get a guest, usually it will pop off and have very good views because our guests are obviously a lot better than us. Yeah, there's so many people I want to invite. I was talking about Colin earlier. Colin Powell, he has his own product management podcast, which is called Product Uncensored. Go check it out. But yeah, I wanted to get Colin on as a guest, and then there's like so many other people that we know of. Like we talk about, you know, some head of technology to come talk about security, and then yeah, there's like so many people I want to get on. That's one thing. The live streaming thing Long brought out also, there was like some fun things we could do as well. That's definitely was in my mind. You know, Vim tutorial speedrun, and another thing that I really want to do was kind of have like our own studio that we can record in, or at least like a place we can all get together to record. But it's like logistically impossible because like Afif lives so far away, right? And Long travels a lot. In the future also, I'll be like very, very far away. So that's technically impossible. That's it. Let's end the episode with self-promotion. Afif, you want to promote yourself? What are you going to do like now that you have time off from Copy Overflow? Are you going to finally do your YouTube stuff?
Yeah, I did that for a while and then I stopped. I should probably do it again. Maybe I'll continue that as well. Maybe, hopefully. Yeah, it's just Afif Sohaili on YouTube. I was doing live stream before, but I guess GUI has poisoned my mind about edited content. Maybe I like edited content more now. And also because I keep saying like so much and so much. It also brought up a good point about Long doing live streaming as a way of training us. Because when you have that safety net, you never try to improve your public speaking also, right? Because you know you can edit all the ums out in post editing.
Have you checked out like how other content creators does this? I think there are like series on YouTube, like actual video series on how they like every episode is implementing a feature. I think there are people who do this. And then on Twitch, for example, I watch people like stream live coding. The engagement is very different lah.
I think I did like 4 live streams before, but none of them had real guests. So I'm not sure about the engagement part. It was just me talking actually. So I think I probably prefer editing because it can be like a bit more concise as well. No promises.
And I think everybody knows your Twitter at this point in time lah.
What about you, Long?
Long, can you bring back your weekly comic thing?
Yeah, not even the comic thing, because that might be a bit stressful to do every...
This is the most time-consuming part, right?
It is. I'm not a professional artist.
But I actually enjoyed your bite-sized newsletters. Just learning about random things.
Yeah, I still remember your Terraform thing, which made me get up out of bed and check my Terraform config.
Is it a HTTP2?
Yeah, the CloudFront thing, yeah.
If it's personal, you know, like, this is something you learned this week. Was it weekly?
Yeah, it was weekly. I did it for like 20 plus weeks.
Yeah, it was just like one, this tiny thing that you learned about that was quite interesting, like...
Maybe I would reconsider restarting those. Because after doing it for like 20 plus weeks, looking back, I felt like those content could be just tweets. That's why I stopped doing it. And I wanted to try some form of long form writing, but it was too much work.
Yeah, I know, right? Writing is a lot of work. You write 10 hours, it becomes like a 8-minute article.
Yeah, so maybe I should go back to that. I would reconsider, but again, no promises. Still, yeah, good to know that you guys actually enjoy those. What about you, Gui?
I used to live stream some coding on Twitch, but I stopped for a while because I couldn't think of a more engaging way. I'm still thinking of like what would be an engaging way to like stream live coding. So it's something I want to get back to, but not so soon, I guess. I tweet a lot of non-tech stuff on Twitter. So if you're interested in that, you can follow me. Since this is the last episode, do we tell people to follow our Twitter? Do we tell people to follow Copy Overflow Twitter? If you've all been listening, you'll know our Twitter. Follow us if we one day might come back from, you know, indefinite hiatus, I guess.
In the meanwhile, maybe you want to follow the host, us.
The three of us just talk about it. I think each of us have our own like individual projects we want to work on, individual content we would like to show off. So yeah, follow each of us. I guess that will be the best way. Twitter links will be in the description for three of us. When we are more famous and we come in and do Copy Overflow, maybe we'll have a better following.
Don't let
your copy
overflow.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, guys. It's been a journey.
Thanks. Bye-bye.